Good evening and welcome to worship. Thanks for braving the cold and joining us here tonight. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious and holy God, as we enter into this space tonight, we pray, Lord, that we might sense the presence of your Spirit here. Open our hearts and our ears as we hear your word. Guide us on your path. Might our hearts be open to you and to your love tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Be at peace in silence as you listen for the Holy One. From Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 37. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors, when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order were ever to cease from my presence, says the Lord, then also the offspring of Israel would cease to be a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth below can be explored, then I will reject all the offspring of Israel because of what they have done, says the Lord. Allow God to direct you to a word or phrase from the second reading of the text. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. For the Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order were ever to cease from my presence, says the Lord, then also the offspring of Israel would cease to be a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth below can be explored, then I will reject all the offspring of Israel because what they have done, says the Lord. During this silence, you're invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention or other understanding between you and God. Take the candle from your seat, light one of, that's a strange line that's never been in here before. You may also come to the prayer bench to receive prayer and anointing for yourself or another. For those of you wishing to give a tithe or an offering, you're welcome to do so as you come forward to light a candle, take communion, or at the end of worship. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order were ever to cease from my presence, says the Lord, then also the offspring of Israel would cease to be a nation before me. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth below can be explored, then I will reject all the offspring of Israel because of all they have done, says the Lord. from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 37. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors, when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and remember their sin no more. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon, and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order were ever to cease from my presence, says the Lord, then also the offspring of Israel would cease to be a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth below can be explored, then I will reject all the offspring of Israel because of all they have done, says the Lord. We're pretty used to new things in our lives. In fact, I don't think it's a stretch to say that oftentimes we prefer new things. The temptation is rampant in our world to go after the newest, the shiniest, the hippest thing for the moment. And of course, advertisers know this, and they smartly try to place this temptation for us to buy things in our lives. We're trained to think of newer as better, as more desirable, as the right way to go. And because of that, we may miss the point of our Jeremiah scripture about the new covenant. We may hear new and think better, more desirable, the right way to go. But instead of that, we should be thinking, why do we need a new covenant? What happened to the old covenant? Well, God gave the law to the people of Israel, and the people disobeyed God, and God led them to the promised land, and the people disobeyed God, and God gave them leaders in the forms of judges and kings. And the people, especially some of these judges and kings, well, they disobeyed God. And then the people were conquered and they were in exile. And that's where we are here in Jeremiah. Now, God has seen that this old way of doing things isn't working. To be clear, this isn't God's fault. God didn't mess up. God always kept his part of the covenant. God isn't surprised by what's happening here. No, humanity messed up. Humanity failed to keep the promise. But because God's love for humanity is so great, God decides to make a new covenant in an effort to bring people back into relationship with him. And so in this case, while new isn't necessarily better or more desirable or the only right way, it's the way that God uses to restore relationship with all of us. The new covenant, it's a promise for restoration for both the people of Israel in the time of Jeremiah and for us today. The new covenant is also a promise of the coming of Christ. So what is this new covenant? Well, there are two main characteristics that we're going to talk about. The first one is this. In the new covenant, people will both know God and be known by God. Jeremiah tells the people that in the new covenant, the law of God will be so intimately known by the people that it will be written on their hearts. No longer will the law be written on stone tablets and displayed in some temple, but now the law will be written on the hearts of the people and displayed in the way that they live their lives. Because previously the people had the law, yes, but it wasn't within them. It was something they knew about, but not necessarily something that they knew. And God saw that when this covenant, this law, was something that was just out there, it didn't work. For some reason, even though God kept showing up to people through messengers and prophets and the law, God still seemed far away. The people were treating God like some distant king in a throne room somewhere, and not a God who to be known, and a God who desired to know them. But here in the promise of the new covenant, God declares this type of relationship will be no more. The new covenant will not be about words, it will be about hearts. The new covenant will not be about knowing about God, it will be about knowing God. Now, as we talk about this new covenant, we need to be careful about looking down at the people in Jeremiah like they were somehow such bad believers or so messed up that God had to come up with this new plan for them, that they had made some sort of huge mistake, because we do the same thing today. Even with this promise firmly in place, even with a God who's been writing his law on our hearts for centuries, even with a God who desires to know us so much that he came and sent his son to live among us, to die and to rise again so that we might know God and be known by God, we often fail to actually let that happen. Sure, we might be pretty good at knowing about God. We've heard about God. We know some facts about God. We might even come and visit God here at church. But to really know God and to be known by God is something different. It means that we seek out God at all times. And God makes this possible by writing his law on our hearts. That's why the scripture says that when the new covenant will be here, there won't be the need to teach or to say to others, know the Lord. This doesn't mean that instruction isn't important, but rather that as people with the law of God written on our hearts, we don't just have to be instructed. We can actually say, I know the Lord. We can experience God at work in our lives. To know God, to have the law of God written on our hearts, means that we know our own faith stories, our own experiences of God, that God is an active part of our lives each and every day. And to know God also means that we are known by God. This is a great promise and a great source of hope for us as people of God. To be known by God means that God is always going to be with us. It means that this promise that God gives that I will be their people and I will be their God and they shall be my people. It's going to be true for us for all times. It means that God has chosen us. Yet we should acknowledge that there may be somewhat a bit uncomfortableness about being known by God. Because this means God knows not just the good things about us, but the bad, the stuff we try to hide from others, the stuff we don't like to think about, the parts of us we know we should change, but we just don't want to. God knows that too. Yet the amazing thing about this promise is that these things don't dissuade God at all. Instead, God is saying to us, you're going to be my people, no matter what. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you've done, God wants to be with you. And God demonstrates that to us in the second characteristic of this covenant. God forgives. Despite all their previous failures, despite all the times that God has tried this before and been rejected, we still have a promise of forgiveness. God's going to forgive the people's first mistakes. God is going to forgive the people for knowing about God instead of knowing God. God is going to forgive the people for all those ugly, messy things God knows about them. And not only that, God is going to forget that those things ever happened. The unfaithfulness, forgotten. The distrust, forgotten. God will remember their sin no more. Here in Jeremiah, we witness this promise, which is not about the past, but is about the future. It's not about failure, it's about hope. And because this is about the future and hope, God is not going to define anyone by their past. Instead, they'll be defined as who they are now and who God is making them to be in the future. The people are forgiven, known by God, and have the word of God written on their hearts. And through Jesus, this same promise of forgiveness is true for us as well. And this happens as Christ forgives and forgets our sins. Because as people of the new covenant, Jesus does not look at us and see our past. Jesus sees our present and our future. So those things from your past, those things you're sorry for, the things you want to forget, God wants to forgive and forget them as well. This new covenant, it means that we know God, that we're known by God, and that we are forgiven. It means that God looks upon us and thinks, there's my child, the one I want to give grace to grow in faith and hope and love.